What is going on YouTube? Welcome back to another FPL family with me, Lee. This is Sam, and what a weekend it has been. The 2020-2021 season continues to give us, I want to say drama, but I'm actually going to say heart attacks. It's been absolutely ridiculous again this weekend and continues to be. Although right now, Villa is 0-0 in the Villa game. So
oh, that won't last.
It can't possibly last. It can't possibly last. It is just drama after drama. And we've had a very, very interesting few days. Football aside, which I talked to, obviously we are here, guys, to talk about game week 5 and our reaction to it. And in particular, both of our wildcards getting played this game week. And if you guys tuned in last Sunday, you'll know that I was very close to playing the button. And then on Ohana on that following Friday and on Twitter, you know that I pressed the button very early on and caught all the price rises, etc., etc. But you also played your wildcard this week in very different circumstances. But we'll come to that in just a second. Let me just talk you through, guys, the elongated weekend we've had. So Thursday...
it's been eventful.
Thursday was your birthday.
So it was!
Happy birthday for
Another
Thursday.
Another year older. I like to say wiser, but that's just not true.
Not from an FPL perspective. None of us are wiser this year from an FPL perspective, let's face it. And I do want to give a quick shout out and thank you to Azzy. He just super chatted $9.99 as a sort of belated birthday present.
Aww, Azzy, thanks,
friend
Azzy.
Of the stream. Thank you, Azzy, for that. Very kind. And one thing we have to point out, because going on from the Thursday birthday, we then had a Friday day out where we went to the Spurs Stadium.
Do you know, before we talk about the actual day there, how nice was it to be in a football stadium again?
It was great to be in a football stadium, but it was eerily quiet, wasn't it?
It was eerily quiet. There's normally like 60,000 people, but...
And we had the stadium tour, and we sat in Jose's seat, we sat in the dugout, and we walked down the bit where Eric Dier ran to have his dump the other day, which was hilarious. By the way, guys, this stadium, if you've not been, it is incredible. It's absolutely an incredible stadium.
It's incredible to just go and watch a match, but it's even more incredible when you go behind the scenes and see it, isn't it?
The changing room, you know, obviously I was getting flashbacks to the All or Nothing documentary, and then you go into the NFL changing rooms, and they are, like, ridiculous. They're huge.
But even the away changing rooms is massive.
And the away facility is very, very good. So anyway, we had a great time at the Spurs Stadium. Really, really great. You picked yourself up. Big news, guys. Big news, you picked up yourself a new mug, Sam, from FPL Family. And the eagle-eyed of you will notice Sam is drinking her tea this evening from a new mug. Show us the mug. Right. Any of you guys see that? You might not be able to see that. There is the new...
can they see that?
Gareth Bale...
there he is.
...Spurs mug. And for the benefit of the podcast listeners, he's got a little heart going on round... the Spurs
badge. And there he is wearing his new shirt.
And there he is with his new shirt. Now listen, guys, we will be talking about that the certain Welshman a bit later on and what happened.
Forever now.
At the top.
He will come up in every live stream from now on.
Well, I hope so.
Guaranteed.
I hope so, but
I'll mention his name now.
Plenty to talk about.
Wait till Ohana. I might do a whole Ohana on Bale.
On Bale.
Just 25 minutes of me talking about Bale. Could happen this week, guys.
Loads to discuss from that game, as there is from, frankly, every game so far this week, except for Villa. And obviously the Villa game is going on right now
keep
us up to date, particularly if Mr. Grealish gets a goal, if Martinez gets
Watkins,
a penalty save, Ollie Watkins for you. So plenty of Aston Villa interest in that game. Now listen, the new Spurs mug was one life-defining moment that happened on over the weekend. But we also did the Dare Skywalk, didn't we, on Friday, which I have to say, you absolutely smashed it. You were up there like a whippet, up round that apex and looking out across the London
Shatton,
and
come
down
on, you
on
Spurs,
the pitch.
Loud
come on,
possible.
You Spurs, loving it. I did not let go of that bar all the way around. Let me tell you guys. It was one of the most frightening things I've ever done. I was not looking forward to it. No, I kind of was looking forward to it, but as soon as we got out onto the apex, and if any of you have done the Dare Skywalk, if you're a Spurs fan, or even if you're not, if you've done the Dare Skywalk at the Spurs Stadium, by the way, if you don't know what we're talking about, you can go up to the roof of the Spurs Stadium, and you can walk out on a path that they've got up, that goes up to where the Golden Cockerel is, and you basically are on a path that is no wider than, I don't know, probably about that.
No, it's not that wide. Goodness me!
Well, right, it's not that wide then. What is it? A few feet?
It's just maybe like that. It's narrow.
It's a few feet wide, and it's glass, guys. It's glass, and I'm walking out onto this glass walkway, and I've looked down and
could see my seat.
Let me tell you, both hands were very tightly gripped on
funny.
That handrail. I can tell you
because Lee said, "You go first."
me.
Oh no, the shortest one had to go first in each group for the photograph. So I went out there quite happy.
Not
put my hands on the cockerel. Oh. Turned around. Where are you? Oh, I'm hugging the railing as tight as possible. Mr. Bond.
It was unbelievable. It was unbelievable. What an experience. Really, it was great. Really loved that.
So
really
much fun. That. And the guy that took us round, Jay, he was fantastic.
Oh, shout out to Jay. Absolutely
unbelievable.
Brilliant.
You know, sometimes when you do these things and they're good, they're a good experience, but they're absolutely made by the guy.
Yeah. He just put you completely at ease around. And everything else. Was
and
really,
a
proper, good,
proper Spurs fan. So to go
he
up
was
there,
proper Spurs, wasn't he?
Yeah, with a hardcore Spurs fan was good.
Absolutely,
yeah, really
loved
good.
That. And then, of course, we had a Saturday full of fixtures. We'll talk about the Merseyside derby in a bit. And for any of you that were following me on Twitter that day, I guess I apologise for some of the stuff I was saying on there, but my God, was I emotional during that game. We will talk about that a bit later on. And then equally today, I've had an emotional day today. We both had an emotional day today because we went out this afternoon to watch Max's team, the London Colney Colts.
Go on the Colts.
Well, on the Colts. They won 9-4 today. Great scoreline for the London Colney Colts Red. So well done. However, Max managed to fall over and break his collarbone.
Well, he didn't fall over. He made a tackle.
He made a tackle.
He was in goal, went down, took the ball. Broke his collarbone.
He broke his collarbone. So I've spent, and that's why I said in the chat before I came on, guys, I've not watched any of the football today.
No.
If you're expecting FPL insight from Sunday, I've got nothing.
You'll get some from me.
You can do Sunday. I'll do Saturday. But I've got nothing on today because I've spent most of the day in A&E at Barnet Hospital is where I've been with my little boy. So it's been a very, very
he's a brave
weird
little soldier
few
today.
Days. A weird few days. But guys, we are going to get on to saying hello to you guys. And we're going to get on to the FPL content. There's our Twitter on the left-hand side, at FPL Family, if you're not following us over there. And, of course, at FPL Family over on FPL what?
What are we? Where are we?
Where are we?
What
at
day
FPL
is it?
Flumley.
What year is it?
FPL Family over on Instagram. And, of course, if you search Facebook for FPL Space Family, you will find us on there as well. Let's get into the chat, Sam. Let's say
it's
hello to
a label
people.
On the bottom of this mug.
Have you? How much was it?
£8.
£8, there you go. Azzy bought you your mug.
Thanks, Azzy.
Thanks, Azzy, for the Bale mug. Absolute legend.
Look at him.
Another super chat from Mark Dorney. Thank you, Mark, for the super chat. He's saying, hello, Lee and Sam. Played the wild card on just under 90 points. Would have took 50 points to change the result. Absolutely gutted. So listen, sometimes the wild cards work out, sometimes they don't. It just, for me, it felt right to play it this week. What was going through your head then on Friday to hit that button so late? Was it the De Bruyne injury that kind of tipped you? Because you were very much thinking about it up until that point.
Yeah, so some of you lovely people out there will know, because we'd had little chats, that my plan was always to play it in game week 6, in the build-up to game week 6. I just hadn't publicly said, I'm playing my wild card next week yet, because I didn't want you to go, whoa, 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 whoa.
I would have.
Exactly what would have happened. Yeah. So I quietly was planning to do it, and I had thought, my intention was to let the game kick off on Saturday lunchtime, play my wild card, and then not mention it until tonight, and then go, oh, by the way, I've played my wild card. And then we were in the Spurs stadium. I can't remember what part where we were, but the guys in the Slack went mental. And I was like, what on earth is happening? Yeah. Looked at my phone and was like, oh, De Bruyne's out. Oh, gosh. Yeah. And then
and the comments from Pep as well were like, he's out for the next
games.
And well, you're like, okay, what does that mean? Well, is that this weekend in Champions League and he's back? Or what does that mean? But it meant an absolute exodus, frankly, from Kevin De Bruyne in terms of transfers out.
And I think the reality for me was that I could have just taken a -4 and taken KDB out because I'd already done one transfer. But I had so many other flags and so many other issues, which is why the wildcard was happening next week. And I looked at my team and thought, do you know what? Why would I take a -4 this week when I'm playing my wildcard a day later? It made no sense. And yes, okay, there was the team value thing that you don't get if you play, you want to be able to do that.
Yeah.
However, for me, I looked at my team and thought, there's not enough points in this team this game week with the way things are set up. So I need to make some changes. And
And it felt right.
It was the right thing to do.
Yeah,
and absolutely. It was the right thing to do. It has gone quite well.
Yeah, we're going to talk about, obviously, the title of this is Wildcard Success? And I think for both of us, thanks to the Spurs boys largely, it has been a success. But we'll talk about, obviously, our teams and overall ranks towards the end of the stream. But Listen, it ain't getting any easier this year, guys. It's not getting easier. It's getting more hard, if anything. Super chat from Stealth Panda. Thank you, Kens, for the super chat. Hope you had a wonderful birthday, Sam.
Thank you.
The walk looks amazing. It was amazing, Kens. Honestly, it was amazing. I was papping myself.
Did you put the pictures up on the stream, or did you not?
No, I haven't, actually. I haven't. But I should put some up on Twitter.
We bought the official pictures, so we'll pop them up somewhere.
Yeah, Daniel Levy's not a mug, is he? You get your picture taken up there, and you pay him a few more quid when you get down there. Daniel bloody Levy. What's more to say? But Ken says, the walk looked amazing. Safe to say, it's best to keep mouth shut on Pickford and VAR. We will come to Mr. Pickford in just a second, Kens, because I can tell you, I ain't shaking it yet.
Honestly.
I ain't shaking it. I'm still in the mood about it.
I'll let you into a secret. I have never. How long have we known each other?
I don't know, 14 years, 15 years, longer?
Longer, 17 years, something like that. In all that time that we've known each other, I have never, ever known you be so annoyed about a football match and not shake it.
Yeah.
Like, he gets annoyed. You get annoyed during games and you get over it within, like, I know to leave you alone for half an hour and after that, you'll be all right.
Get on with it, yeah.
Yeah, because another game comes on. But he woke up this morning and he was still having it. And I was like, are you all right?
Honestly, it bothered me that game, and we'll talk about it. Maybe we'll start with it in a second, but it honestly bothered me, to the point where honestly, God, I couldn't sleep last night. I was so bothered by it. I woke up this morning thinking about it, and I was really bothered by it, and it's just thrown me completely. It's just thrown me completely because it's so reckless. I'll come to it in just a second. Let's say hello to a few more people. Joseph Perry is in. How are we doing, Joseph? Hey, yeah. I want goals 15 back again. For another live stream, Lee had jelly legs. You're not wrong. You are not wrong. And up there, I'm telling you guys, it was windy. And that bloody ledge was wobbling.
But I tell you what, though, there was 11 of us in our little tour group up there. And the guy made a shout, come on, you Spurs. But my God, wasn't it noisy? Yeah, like the acoustics up there.
Very good.
And I thought, oh.
Designed by you too, the guy was telling us.
Yeah, if only to have 60,000 people make noise in there again.
Yeah, that's... That was the one, if you can call it sad moment, wasn't it? You're sitting there and it's just like, oh to be back in the stadiums. Yeah. Oh to be back in the stadiums.
Soon.
Joe Findlay-Badder is in and moderating. Hey, Joe, how are we doing? Neil Crustin is here. How are we doing, Neil? Very nice to see you. Sorry to hear about little Max. Yeah, mate. He'll bounce back. He's all right. He was not happy at the time, I can tell you. But the boys went on to win 9-4, didn't they? Go on, the Colts. Bossman 525, he's in. Lee is looking frustrated. Honestly... Yes.
It's not the word.
Yes. Honestly, yes, I am. And I will still be when we get to the game. I'm sure it's going to get emotional. Let's see. Azzy, of course, is in. Azzy, George Wade is here. Abhishek is here. Marius, our whole host of you guys. So, guys, welcome. And thank you for joining us tonight on FPL Family. There is the Twitter, as I mentioned before. Sam, we need to get this over and done with. We need to talk about the Merseyside Derby. Let's start with it. Before I go off on one, which I'm bound to, what were your thoughts? What were your thoughts? On the game?
I don't want to rile you anymore, but I think for me, let's start with the elephant in the room. The Pickford thing was a joke, in my view. Even if he's offside and therefore it's not a penalty, there is no reason why that reckless challenge couldn't have been a red card. Yeah. It's still a bad decision. There's plenty of things that happen while players stopped. And players get sent off for it. Players get sent off after games.
Penalties are given after full-time whistles, for example.
Players get sent off after the games. Assistant managers in the Spurs game get sent off after the games. That happens all the time. Yeah. The ball doesn't have to be active for Pickford to be sent off. Pickford's challenge was horrendous. Mm. And quite frankly, Van Dijk was lucky to be able to walk off the pitch.
Not that lucky. He's done an ACL. He's out for 9 months.
I know that. But that challenge, he could have had to go off on a stretcher with a horrendous, horrendous injury. Now,
but an ACL is worse than a leg break.
Yeah,
I'm not. And for anyone that's got either of those injuries, I'm not about to sit here and compare injuries. I've had neither, touch wood, thankfully. But if you do your ACL, it's never the same. Virgil van Dijk, and here we go, I'm going to go off on one now. Virgil van Dijk is 30 soon. He's 30 years old. He's not coming back from that, in my opinion, the same defender that he has been in the last year, year and a half for Liverpool. It won't be the same. And my problem with it is that it was reckless, unnecessary and pathetic from Jordan Pickford. And he's done it before. If you go back a couple of seasons ago, dived in on Dele Alli, two-footed, scissor tackle. Now, Dele Alli rode it, didn't he? And they had his handshake and he was like, fine. But the way that he hit him at the weekend was absolutely ridiculous. So if any of you haven't heard the news, Virgil van Dijk has got to have surgery now on this anterior cruciate ligament injury caused by the Jordan Pickford tackle at the weekend. Forget all of the VAR and stuff about it. I mean, that is wrong. Of course it's a penalty. Of course it's a red card. And, you know, but VAR's been crap for a year already. So I'm not going to start talking about VAR. But it's Pickford that gets me. It's unbelievable that he's gone out and done that.
Okay, but he hasn't done it on. He's not intentionally gone out to hurt the guy, and I think that's we need to remember that Pickford hasn't intended. He's not gone at Van Dijk to break his leg. He's not gone at him to take him out of the game. He's gone to win the ball. Now we all know that Pickford is a bit of a clumsy clout, and he doesn't. He does these things, and he makes mistakes, and that mistake was terrible, and it should have been a red card. But I don't believe that Van Dijk...
Do you not think it was malicious?
No, I don't believe...
I have seen that as a school of thought on
I
Twitter.
Don't believe,
I have read that genuinely he's just that clumsy and bad. But he went out there and was just being Pickford rather than it was malicious.
And that's how I feel. Like, I genuinely don't believe that any... There are some players that you watch do things like that and you think you've done that deliberately to hurt the guy and you're just a total whatever. With Pickford... I watch him have clanger after clanger after clanger every week. I watch him make stupid tackles every week. He's just gone to win the ball in a Pickford-like manner and has just, unfortunately for Van Dijk, it's cost him a year of his career.
So you're absolutely right. So here's how I thought the game went in terms of the game and FPL. I thought Liverpool were bang on it. I thought we were absolutely on it for the first 10 minutes of that game. Went 1-0 up through Mane, nice Robertson assist. Robertson, who statistically against Trent is just outstatting him every single week.
No.
If you were going to pick one of the two right now, and there's still a school of thought that says you can have two, no doubt about it.
Is there?
Well,
do you think that's still a valid?
Without Van Dijk now, probably not.
Because now no Alisson, no Van Dijk.
Well, Alisson will be back, I think, quicker than expected, I read today.
Well, but
even
hope.
So, without Virgil van Dijk, I now think one Liverpool defender is enough. And if you look at the stats, if you don't even need to look at the stats, just look at watch the games. Robbo is absolutely flying. I did notice in that Everton game, actually, a few times Henderson was kind of drifting wide right. He tended to do that a little bit in the middle of last season, but he tended to drift wide right.
Right.
And that meant that Trent didn't get quite so far forward. And it was Henderson that was helping Salah on that side, whereas on the left-hand side, just Robbo going all day, every day.
It's interesting because as part of my wildcard, and we'll talk about this obviously later, I kept Trent. And I nearly, very, very nearly went to Robertson. And then I thought, why? Like, what am I doing with that extra 0.5? I felt like I had to have a reason to keep that 0.5. And I'll be honest, the ownership of Trent scared me. He's still highly owned. Yeah. And I looked at that game and I thought, he'll have a clanger. At some stage, Pickford will have a clanger.
Do you know what? He played really well, Pickford. After having probably should have been sent off, he had a blinder.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he probably should have saved the Henderson shot at the end. But of course, that gets ruled out for offside, which, frankly, it blows my mind. But again, I'm not here to discuss VAR because VAR's been crap for ages. I want to discuss more about the game.
I think for me, I kept Trent on the basis that I thought Pickford's always got a clanger in him. Trent and Salah have a nice working relationship down that wing. Trent's got to improve at some stage. I couldn't necessarily see that Robbo was that much better an option than Trent in that moment, in that game, particularly with ownership levels as they were. I'll be honest, I'm looking at Trent now thinking...
Still pinging free kicks though. Were it not for a good Pickford save, he might have scored a free kick.
Yeah, and he might have scored a free kick. And that's the difficulty, isn't it? Is that there's always that moment in the game where Trent could have, should have, scored, got an assist.
Yeah.
And then you kind of sit there and think, well, how many weeks do you maintain a 7.5 million defender when they're just not performing? Yeah.
But
and with no
Van Dijk. It's heat maps and stats, right? If you look at where Robbo is on the pitch versus Trent on the other side, or even if you did a straight comparison of Trent last season versus this first 4 weeks, he's not anywhere near as far.
No, but
he's not, and he's not last season when he didn't get forward like that. He would be crossing from deep.
No, yeah.
He's not doing that as much now. And I don't know why. It's obviously a change of philosophy.
I think so. I think you just generally you're a bit weaker down that side in terms of like the way that you actually set up and defend. So maybe Klopp's maintaining him a little bit more in that defensive role to improve that area. But there are so many other defenders in a slightly lower price bracket outside of Liverpool who did perform this weekend, be it in attacking returns or defensive ones, it doesn't really matter, that the temptation to just take 2 million out of Van Dijk and have Chilwell or somebody instead is quite high.
Yeah, super chat from Toxic Fusion. Thank you for the super chat. West Ham fan here. Sorry, Sam. Much love. We'll be talking about that game a bit later on as the smash and grab that was West Ham in the last few minutes there. Absolutely incredible. But just to finish up on this game, without putting my Pickford biases to one side, we haven't even discussed Richarlison yet, which was an absolutely disgusting tackle. Deserves to be banned for forever. Absolutely horrendous. But Thiago, I think, luckily, is going to escape a bad injury. He's probably going to miss Ajax, maybe one Premier League game. How good was Thiago, by the way? He's not an FPL asset, I don't think, but how good is he? He's unbelievable. But from an FPL perspective, Everton continue to impress. You know, you put all of the Merseyside derby stuff, then I'll take my Liverpool glasses off for a second for the sake of the Everton fans that are on. And I will say, they were very, very good. Dominic Calvert-Lewin, how well does he take that goal? Does he score the header of Virgil's on the pitch is a different question, but listen, he got above Robbo like he wasn't even there, and Gomez was caught underneath it, and an absolutely fantastic header.
I think I feel a lot better now that I have Dominic Calvert-Lewin in my team.
He's not a behind-the-sofa player, though. He's not like massively involved in the game, and then he just scores two goals.
But I think he is a behind-the-sofa sort of player because the way he's playing at the moment for the last five game weeks has five returns on the trot.
Like, he's absolutely on form.
And
a goal for England, by the way.
And a goal for England. And you look at it and you kind of go, well, you know, how many weeks can I sit here and not own him? And part of the reason I wasn't wildcarding this week was because it was the derby and I wasn't sure how that would pan out. And I was kind of like, well, you know, do I need him for this week? The answer is clearly yes, you do need him. You do. You have
to. I think you want him now. I think you've got to have him.
I think so.
And the one thing that's interesting for me, and we spoke about the Gary theory, didn't we, a couple of weeks ago, because Anthony Gary was talking about the fact that James Rodriguez is going to get forward more without Richarlison.
Yeah.
I think when they went down to 10 men, the last thing they want to do then is take risks and
put
James forward.
But it was right at the end of the game as well.
And it was at the end of the game. But it'll be very interesting now to see how James Rodriguez gets forward, or if he does get forward at all anymore, in the absence of Richarlison next three games.
Yeah, I mean, I fully expect that James Rodriguez will be up there alongside Dominic Calvert-Lewin again. Yeah, do you regret losing him or...?
No, because at the time I didn't know Richarlison was going to get a three-game ban. Mm. But now that Richarlison has got a three-game ban, I think I would probably rather have him.
Yeah.
I went into my wild card and my last decision on Saturday morning was, do I go Rodriguez or Pulisic? And I went Pulisic in the end. Now, I think I saw enough in Pulisic on Chelsea, and we'll talk about Chelsea in a sec, to suggest that he's going to be a pretty good pick, I think, this season, and I think he's going to be good value. But James Rodriguez continues to tick over the points. Got an assist at the weekend from the corner, so he's on set pieces, we know that.
Yeah.
And in the absence of Richarlison, as we saw a couple of weeks ago, I'm expecting him to push on a bit, and that makes me a bit fearful as a recent Rodriguez seller.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that Everton are performing really well. I still can't quite get my head around their Everton defensive assets. I'm not all there with the Dina picks. I know that he's quite popular at the minute, and I still can't quite get there with that because you've got the Pickford issue going on every week. But I think in terms of their forward players, whether you want to go Rodriguez or Dominic Calvert-Lewin, or indeed both, they look great.
Good picks.
And the fixtures still look nice.
And from a Liverpool perspective, we spoke about defenders, but Salah's looking great, isn't he? I mean, Mané's looking great as well, but Salah, the way he finished that the weekend, just instinctive shot, fantastic.
Yeah, and the thing is, and the guys in the Slack were talking during the game, and it was like, you know, Salah's not had a sniff for a while, but then he does that, and you think, you know, you can be not really in the game for 20 minutes and then pop up with something like that. And
I still think you want one of them in your team, don't you?
Who, Salah or Mane?
Salah or Mane.
I think you want Salah.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see. So, last word on the Merseyside derby. Interesting to see Klopp's philosophy now going forward. He knows that we're going to be short at the back, right? Big, big season now coming up for Joe Gomez. Massive season coming up for him and for Matty. And he's not started well. He's got to pull his socks up quickly. Big season for Fabinho as well, who potentially could fill in there at centre-back. So, from a leadership perspective, I do actually like him back there.
Mm.
We need Alisson back, clearly. So is Klopp going to look at that and go, all right, well, we're weaker defensively. Does that mean we actually need to take more risks going forward? Or do we take less and kind of protect that back four? I still think attack might be the best form of defence at Liverpool.
I mean, it's how Spurs play the game.
It is, yeah, it is.
You saw that today, right?
Go on then, let's move to that game.
And I think, you know, we played brilliantly in that first half. We were fantastic, particularly Son and Kane. They ran the show and they were everywhere you wanted them to be, especially Kane. Like, I know that you think I've got my Spurs goggles on when it comes to Harry Kane.
Not this season.
But genuinely...
No, not this season. He's looking great.
And you weren't here in the first half, but genuinely, he was everywhere. And at one point, the commentator, I don't remember who it was, said, who on earth was that defended that? And the guy lifted his head off the floor and it was Kane. And he was like...
Defending, yeah.
Where has he come from to get back from upfield to end up there and clear the ball from the... Like, he was everywhere. He's reading and understanding of the game. I don't know what Mourinho has done to him. I don't know what Mourinho has said to him. But whatever he has done and said...
I think he's just fit, Sam.
But I don't think it's just that.
He's had two seasons of on-off injuries. Now he's there. He's fit.
Yes, I agree with you.
He could easily have had a hat trick today and a couple more assists.
I agree with you. However, I do genuinely think that something else has gone on there because his understanding of the game and his positional play is so much better.
Joe Finley Badders in the chat reminded me that I said Kane was finished last season. Thank you, Joe, for that.
Thanks,
Joe. I haven't forgotten about that comment. At the time, he was finished.
In fact, I think you'll find that he said that in pre-season as well. And I think you'll find he also said that in the Everton game on the opening game of the season. But, you know, who am I to remember these things? and we were brilliant. We were brilliant in that first half. And the forward play was fantastic. And we were doing really well defensively as well when we needed to, because Kane was helping out if he needed to. Højbjerg was there. Yeah. And then, for whatever reason, he took Son off. And when you disrupt that front three, the momentum going forward isn't the same. And so suddenly, there's more pressure on the defence because the forward line isn't doing its thing. And this is where I think Liverpool might come unstuck if you change your play, is that actually if you don't push, it allows pressure to back. Now, credit to West Ham, actually, because they could have easily just gone, 3-0 down, what's the point? They didn't. They continued to go for it. They got one back. Give them a little bit of fighting spirit about them. They pushed on again. Sanchez, what is he doing? Putting in his own net, but whatever.
You see,
they get two. And then Aurier, I genuinely believe, if you own Doherty now, it's not an issue anymore, because I don't think he will trust Aurier to play for Spurs ever again.
You see, you talk about the Son substitution and the dynamic of the front three. I'm sure that contributed, but I think that certainly the second and the third goal have come from individual mistakes and individual brilliance. So Davinson Sanchez, I don't know what he's doing. I know the cross comes across quickly from its Koufou, isn't it, on that side, but he's just got to head it out for a corner, isn't he? And then Aurier sort of dwells on it, and it's a piece of individual brilliance from Lanzini.
The thing is, I think it's been quite clear that Mourinho doesn't trust Toby and Sanchez to play together. That's been quite clear for a while now. That's why we bought the new kid from Swansea. That's why we bought the new guy. It's why he wants Eric Dier to play there. Now, obviously, Eric Dier's got a slight hamstring injury, so wasn't available, but he will be back for next week. He just doesn't trust the partnership. That's quite apparent.
Mm.
And I don't think it's necessarily a fault of either of them. It's just the fault of them together. They don't communicate very well with each other as a pairing. And I think Sanchez has just had a panic. I think he's just gone, the ball's coming my way, I've got to clear it, and just misjudged his header. But what Aurier does is unforgivable, in my view. You can make a mistake, but with Aurier, all you've got, just boot the ball down the field. How many times did we shout that at the boys today?
Yeah.
Like, just clear it. Clear your line, down the line. Get the ball, down the line.
That's what you told the under-sevens.
It's what we told the kids today. Down the line, down the line. And they do it. Aurier, down the blimmin' line.
He just dwelt on it, and he got the ball got nicked off him, and he gives away the foul. And it just invites pressure.
It does.
And I know it was a worldie from Lanzini, but...
Who I now hate.
The ball is not... It won't even be in that position.
No.
Had Aurier not... It's just cleared his lines. A super chat, Sam, just before you carry on. From Anthony Gary, he of Gary
there
Theory.
There he is.
We're going to test this Gary Theory in the next few weeks about James Rodriguez getting forward in Richarlison's absence. Anthony says, hey, Lee and Sam, thanks for always sharing your knowledge and experience with us. Difficult this week, as it is. But thank you, Anthony. Much love from across the pond. Much love to you in return,
thanks, Anthony.
Thank you for the super chat. Yes, It is a difficult live stream tonight with what happened at what happened at Spurs.
I think for me, I'm not actually that annoyed by the Spurs result. I'm not.
The performance was fantastic.
I'm not annoyed. Like, normally, so that Newcastle game, I was so...
Yeah, they were bad, right?
Wild, yeah. Because we weren't great, and then we made stupid mistakes, and then the VAR decision was just... well, we won't go there again because I just punched another door. But today, we played so well. We were so, so good. And then Aurier, you could tell from Mourinho, in that post-match interview when they asked him what went wrong, and he said, it's not for me to discuss with you. I was pleased with the team. There's a few people I need to speak to. Basically, what he was saying is, I need a word with Aurier.
Yeah.
And that's what he said before, was it in all or nothing? I don't trust you not to make a mistake.
Well, why play him then?
Because last week he played well. Because I think what happened, and he's played well for a couple of games, and he's not made any mistakes. And then today, I think he's just lost his place, and I think we'll see Doherty back for game week 6.
All right, okay. A lot of rhetoric, of course, on Twitter. Everybody in the live chat's talking about Bale coming on, missing a goal, etc. But listen, it can happen. The guy hasn't played for months, and he comes on. He probably should score.
He should.
And if he scores, it's 4-2, and it's game over.
He should have scored.
And it's a real shame that he didn't. But equally, all this rhetoric about, you know, well, they were winning and then Bale comes on and they lose.
No, it's nothing to do with him.
Who said that? There's a lot. Well,
yeah, for me to answer to.
You know that's going to be the talk.
Well, yeah,
though,
of course,
you?
But
you know that's what's going to be said.
That's just not the case at all. I think,
I know it's,
you know,
not, but that's what people are going to say.
I think the reality is that, and everyone was saying, oh, Bale will start this game. No, I never thought Bale was going to start this game. He was always going to come off the bench around the 60, 70 minute mark.
Yeah.
He was always going to be eased back into our team, and that's exactly the right thing. I think Mourinho is handling it really well. I would expect to see his game time increase over the next few weeks, and I'd expect to see Bale eventually back to his best. But it's never going to happen overnight. The guy hasn't played enough football for the last couple of years for it to be, you know, our back. I mean, it would have been fairy tale like if he just scored with that first touch with that free kick. But the reality is that he's not playing enough football for that to be the case.
And the Spurs fixtures going forward, Burnley, Brighton and West Brom next. So certainly the next three before then Man City and Chelsea in 9 and 10, which was a little bit more difficult. But I must admit, I had my eye on those three in particular when I was playing my wild card. And that was what kind of swung me towards getting Son and Kane, was those fixtures coming up. So I think if you're on both, you're in a good position.
Doubled up.
If you had to choose one right now, if I said, Sam, you have to only choose one Spurs player.
Kane.
I think it would be Harry Kane as well. And that would be a very hard thing to do and to say, because Son has been absolutely magnificent. But Harry Kane looked bang on it for me. And he's on penalties. He hasn't scored a penalty yet, has he? Oh, you have had a penalty, okay. But listen, he's on penalties as well. Got the 3 bonus points today. He looks absolutely on fire. A shout out to West Ham. Despite the tricky fixtures that we keep talking about every bloody week, don't get West Ham, wait on them, they've got tricky fixtures. It's still good.
Do you know what?
The results from Man City and Liverpool next, before then it gets, well, inverted commas, easier against Fulham, Sheffield United and Villa in 8, 9 and 10. So I think we're all sitting there going, well, Antonio in 8 or somebody else in 8, but... They keep getting results.
I was expecting at half time, I was like, we're going to sit on the live stream, we're going to say, oh, Moyes came back and they lost a game. But and actually, you know, to be fair to West Ham, I thought they showed a lot of character today, and credit to them, because they did push on, because, all right, it was 2 mistakes from Spurs players, but fundamentally, they were attacking, they were putting the ball in those areas, and their players were in the right positions to win those goals. So credit to West Ham for keeping going at it, because... they could easily have kind of dropped off a cliff and not bothered. They've got Man City next. Now, the reality is that Man City, they get a bullet at the minute. They haven't got a full-strength side. They're missing some key players. Okay, Aguero's back now. And okay, Sterling did something in the last game. But they haven't been consistently performing. And without KDB, they aren't ever quite the same beast as they are with
him. KDB might be back, right?
He might be back, but we don't know yet. But West Ham have got the form. They've got the momentum. And I don't think it's as easy a game as we all maybe thought, or as difficult a game for West Ham as maybe we all had it written down as 6 weeks ago when they lost to Newcastle on the opening game of the season. Now, I think West Ham will give them a run for their money.
I think if you could have offered Hammers fans the points total they've got right now after five game weeks, they'd snatch around off in game week one.
I remember us saying at the beginning of the season, if they don't beat Newcastle, they could easily be up to game week nine and have no points and be bottom of the league.
Yeah. I think they're doing very, very well indeed. So don't let the fixtures put you off is the answer there. So there we go. That's the two most emotional games we've done then. Let's talk about something else that, although it wasn't very emotional for us, we were in an emotional environment around your father's house.
We were.
Watching Chelsea 3, Southampton 3. Big Chelsea fans, obviously, on your side of the family. Very, very happy with a certain Mr. Werner up front. Now, we've been waiting a long time to see Werner up front, Havertz in behind. Pulisic, of course, got the start on the left. And although Ziyech didn't start the game, they were set up in that way.
Yes, they were.
With Mount, weirdly. I say Pulisic left, it wasn't. It was Mount left and Pulisic right, wasn't it, for a lot of the game. And then Pulisic switched to the left when Ziyech come on. Be interesting to see how Frank Lampard fits Mount into his starting lineup, if he does at all, going forward. You've got to feel like, you know, one of his favourites, isn't he, Mason Mount? But Chelsea look absolutely unstoppable for periods of that game.
Yes.
But the defending lets them down again. And you can spend $300 million on three fantastic German strikers. But if you can't defend, which they can't. Now, I know they didn't have Thiago Silva. And I know they had Kepa in goal, not the new keeper, Mendy. But goodness me, there were some mistakes, wasn't there? Kurt Zouma as well, not, you know, that back pass. I mean, Kepa fluffed his lines. But the back pass on the second goal from Zouma was terrible.
The thing is that you hope that, you know, and... I blamed Kepa for that. Zouma, like, my dad was like, but Zouma's mistake. And I was like, I know, I get that. But defenders sometimes make mistakes. And Zouma didn't make a lot of mistakes in that game. But the keeper's supposed to kind of try, at least try and fix the mistake. Kepa made it worse. Like, Zouma's made a mistake. Kepa's just flapping around. Might as well not bother have a keeper, actually.
There's no confidence in...
No one trusts him.
Either way.
No.
Either way. No. And I'm not going to stand up for Kepa because I think he had another bad game. But he's clearly a young goalkeeper that clearly hasn't got the confidence of his team.
Yeah.
Which is a big problem.
They don't
Same
trust
with Adrian.
Him.
He's not young, but the team don't believe in him.
No, right? Don't
That's
trust
the
him.
Problem. And I also don't think he trusts in them either. I mean, Zouma makes mistakes. He's got, you know, they're all young players at the back there, except for Thiago Silva.
There's no communication either, is there, in that Chelsea back line? Like, it seems like the defenders are the sort of... Chilwell's not really there to defend. It feels like he's just there to attack. And my goodness, actually, he did well from an attacking
Chilwell
point of view.
Chilwell was the one I've got my eye on, yeah.
Yeah, because from an attacking point of view, he looks...
He was Robertson-esque down that left-hand side.
He was.
He really was, yeah.
And he looks good from that point of view. And I think, you know, if you're going to go with a premium defender, then that's the
Oh, my God. Looks like... Sorry to interrupt, but it's like Ross Barkley.
No.
Has scored in the 91st minute. And
you've got him in Sam versus Lee.
Have I?
Yeah.
Yes, Ross.
I mean, I've got Son, but...
Oh. Don't do that to me. Why are you going to do that?
Well, I've got Vardy as well as one
Why
of mine. He's not even playing, so you might have beaten me this
you
week.
You even trolled me earlier when I was waiting in the hospital with our lad who had a broken collarbone. I'm waiting to go into x-ray and you say, Morpage just got you an assist. I was like, great, good. And then I look at it, it's not his assist. You're trolling me, Sam.
To be fair, I didn't
this.
Mean to. Who got the assist for the Barkley goal, please?
I don't know. The guys in the live chat will tell us, but it's 1-0. We're still yet to have a 0-0 in the Premier League. It's
Who got the
incredible.
Assist, please, guys?
It looks like it's a Barkley goal in the dying seconds. Absolutely unbelievable. Let's go back to
so
Chelsea.
Chilwell,
right?
So I think Chilwell looks like a great option, and I think, you know...
Talk to me about Werner. I want your opinion on Werner. So for four games...
But he played in a totally different position.
Well, he played in a position, didn't he? One that he wants to play.
He played through the middle.
Frank's kind of dotted him about, but he puts him in the place he wants to be, and he's fantastic.
Yeah, and I think what's going to happen is now, with a fully fit four behind him...
McGinn assists, Sam, by the way.
Well, that's no good to man nor beast. Where's Watkins? With the four fit behind him, you know, then you're in a position where he's going to be getting nice balls... I know he didn't get you any returns this week, but I thought Pulisic had a really good game.
That's all right, didn't he? Yeah.
And that I thought there was enough from Pulisic in that game. In fact, there was enough from all of the Chelsea players, attacking-wise, that they all looked like they could be good options. My fear and my concern with Chelsea isn't really surrounded... I mean, Werner is impossible for me because I want Kane, and I think most people are going to be in that same boat, is it's going to be very, very hard to earn Werner and Kane. That will make it very hard.
I would say so, yeah.
But you look into the sort of the midfield and you can have Pulisic. You can have...
Pulisic isn't that far away from Werner. Maybe 1.2.
But the positioning difference is, you know, from a forward to a midfielder in terms of the game and the way that you're structuring. And I think 1.2 million is a lot. It is a lot. It's why a lot of people have gone Son over Kane eventually, is because it's a big jump, right?
Well, the Chelsea fixture is coming up. It's Man United away next. Now, I don't think I'm going to be... I'm certainly not going to sell Pulisic ahead of that, but I wouldn't be buying into to Chelsea, I don't think.
Why?
Going into that game on paper. Well, I don't know. It's at Old Trafford, and Man United just come off the back of a decent result against Newcastle. I'm not, you know, on that on paper, I'm not looking at that thinking I must buy into more Chelsea and double up on Chelsea. But after that, Burnley, Sheffield United, Newcastle... before the game against Spurs, that three between 7 and 9 looks all right for Chelsea, doesn't it? You're currently not invested in Chelsea at all, right? So what are you thinking?
No, because I still... I feel like I'm on a repeat. I still don't really know which one I want. And this is the thing, is that I... So my in my head, and I said this on Instagram, Bruno got one last week. It was one last week of Fernandes this week. And if he just got a penalty again, then that was... I hadn't seen enough from him that was making me want to spend 10.5, but there was something in my head that I just couldn't get rid of him. I couldn't work out why I was so attached to him.
We'll talk about him in a bit, but Chelsea-wise, who do you fancy?
But he was the placeholder, you see, for the Chelsea player. And so from Bruno, you can go anywhere, any of the Chelsea assets, and it's fine. But I couldn't decide which one was the right one. And my heart... pulls me towards Pulisic every time. I just really rate him as a player.
Is that just because we've seen him before, what he can do?
Maybe.
He's a bit of a known quantity.
It might be. Yeah, it might be.
It feels safer than Havertz, doesn't it? Although Havertz went really great again in the 10, didn't
he? Yeah, he did. And it might very well be the safety of you're a Premier League experienced player.
Yeah, okay.
But I don't really think it matters to the Chelsea boys, but... I just wanted that extra week of seeing Pulisic. I wasn't convinced he was going to start him. I thought he might come off the bench, I didn't want to bring him in just ahead of that game. But yeah, I think from game week 7 onwards, there's a really nice run.
Yeah, I think he's a hold for me. I'm not certainly looking about getting rid of him. And from a Southampton perspective, starting to worry a bit about Kyle Walker-Peters. They seem a bit unable to keep clean sheets again now, Southampton. Although the last couple of game weeks they've done okay, I guess.
Everyone else is unable to keep clean sheets as well.
Yeah,
so,
it's true.
You know, I don't think you can worry about your 4.5 defender who doesn't keep a clean sheet, because actually Kyle Walker-Peters has for the 2 weeks previous. So I think it's just what it is. But yeah.
Che Adams finally getting off the mark.
Yeah, when I sold him.
After you've sold him on your wild card, it was bound to happen.
Thanks.
But Danny Ings back. With another goal, it's a goal and an assist for Che Adams this week.
Yeah, thanks for that. He got 11. Yeah, brilliant. Thanks, Che.
Want to bring him back in?
No, thanks. Absolute troll.
She's dead to you now, Che Adams.
Can somebody remind me, when just before the 2021-22 season, somebody say, Sam, he'll troll you when I bring him in my team, please.
Bound to happen.
Because it's 2 years in a row now.
Bound to happen. Full time at Villa Park, Sam, 1-0.
Martinez clean sheet.
Whey! Which is happy days. Nothing for Watkins or Grealish, but listen, not
going
to get everything every week. We'll take that. Villa's fixtures look like this coming up: Leeds, Southampton at home, Arsenal away, Brighton at home in the next four. They look all right if you've got Villa assets. I would say they're in reasonable form and they are a hold, particularly defensively. Martinez looking pretty good. So
thanks,
go.
Martinez.
Chelsea 3. Southampton 3. Let's talk about Bruno then and the boys at Manchester United. I thought. I've been very critical of Manchester United in the past on these live streams. Very recently, as a Man United fans in will attest to, thought they were good at the weekend. Thought they were good. And I will give Ollie some credit, which again I don't really do, but he made some ballsy, I think, selections.
He did.
Juan Mata came in and he put on a masterclass. Dan James played very, very well indeed. Rashford through the middle. I mean, that's not a shock. I thought that was going to go well. But they played very, very well,
it's
Manchester
interesting,
United.
Isn't it?
However, it was 1-0 after, 80-something minutes. So 4-1 maybe flatters them a little bit, but the performance probably deserved the win.
Yeah, because the reality is, I know it was 1-0, but Bruno's missed a penalty. He had a goal ruled out for VAR. So all of that happened. So it could have been 3-1.
Bruno should have had... He could have had hat-trick, because the guys in the...
I mean, the VAR got... One went off for VAR, which, you know, let's not talk about VAR. Then he misses the penalty. Then he gets a goal. Then he gets an assist. You know, there was... And the 3 bonus points. There was a lot to like about Bruno, but I thought that actually Ollie, he played it well. And when I looked at that team sheet, I was like, what? And I messaged Josh and was what is happening?
The team sheet looked flaky, didn't it?
What is this? Why have I kept Bruno? What is this team?
Yeah.
I don't like the look of it at all.
Fred and Matic, wasn't it, in midfield? And
yeah.
I'm like, what?
No Greenwood, where was he? Like, you just look around and go, has he lost? Has he? Has he lost the plot?
And then after 90 seconds, Shaw gets the own goal, and you're thinking, yes, he has.
Yeah. Or he's, he wants, they did well, he was thinking, does he want to be fired? Is that what's happening here?
Yeah.
But actually, no. He made the right calls. He made the changes he needed
no,
to.
No, Pogba as well. Benched.
Pogba probably needs... His attitude probably needed him to
No, but the point I'm making is that's a brave call from Ollie to Absolutely. Do that. It's a right call.
Absolutely. You can't go and say, oh, it's my dream to play for Madrid and expect to come back and play for the team. I think, you know, from my point of view, the defensive assets still... I know that there was a goal from Wan-Bissaka and all of that, but for me... The defensive assets of Man United.
What a goal by Wan-Bissaka, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, he's never going to do it again, is he? Blimmin' biscuit tin. He didn't do that when I owned him, did he? But they're still not keeping. They're still not solid defensively, as we saw from Luke Shaw. You know, the Man United manager's probably still wished he had been sent off against Spurs now, because then he wouldn't have been playing there to score an own goal.
Let's see what you guys are saying. Azzy is saying, we were awful. I think Azzy's Newcastle. We were awful. Basically handed the game to Man United on a silver platter. Yeah, not the greatest Newcastle performance, I have to say. Bit of a concern. Because
Jekyll and Hyde, aren't they, Newcastle this year?
They are to predict, yeah. Aren't they? I couldn't necessarily put my finger on any Newcastle FPL asset that I really, really want.
No.
I'll be honest, very difficult to know who to go to. Andrew, he's saying, was surprised about the team. Still no Donny van der Beek.
Weird
Pogba
that.
Dropped, but to be fair, needed dropping. As you were saying, Sam, absolutely right. Tips just says biscuits in, love it. Bossman just says biscuit, love it. FPL tips, Bale deserves to go in the biscuit tin.
Oh,
you be careful, Harry.
Now you, Harry.
You wash your mouth out, sunshine. Wash your mouth out. So 4-1 in the end. Nothing really to inspire me to pick Newcastle assets.
No, me neither.
Nothing really to inspire me to pick Manchester United assets, except that Bruno will always get you the points.
Well, the thing is, I feel like now I'm stuck in the Bruno cycle. Can't get rid of him now, can I?
So what's very, very briefly, what's your plan? Because Bruno to Chelsea looked on, but now it's what? I think they play Chelsea next. There's Arsenal, Everton, three difficult games coming up.
Well, now I think I'm just going to roll my transfer and keep him for the Chelsea game, see what happens. I mean, if Kepa's going to play, you get a penalty, won't he?
He points, Bruno, you get points.
So I'm just going to keep him now.
And lastly, what I like on him is good leadership.
And
Bruno.
Also,
good leadership.
Just like, misses that penalty, he could have stuck his head down, didn't, carried on playing, finished the game well.
Much to say about Manchester City. Sterling took his goal well. The return of Sergio Aguero. He's on the thumbnail today. So, listen, the big man's back. With Kane up top. Struggling to think about how I'm going to fit him into my team, to be honest with you. I think you can have Kane and Aguero right now.
No, I'll pass on Aguero because I'm happy with Kane. And I think that's the choice, isn't it? You have to make a call. I can't see how you
think those two up front is going to be very difficult indeed. But I do feel like he... rejuvenated Man City to a degree. He was the focal point and they all lifted their game because of it. Now, he didn't last the 90 minutes. I don't think we're expecting him to last the 90 minutes, but he will make a difference now to
the
City.
The thing is, I think the reality is that City needed that, didn't they? They needed him back and he came back and he did what they needed him to do. I think...
West Ham away for them next. Not easy. The way West Ham are playing.
Well, it depends. Is Moyes going to be there or not? You know, is he going to sit at home? I think the thing is, for me... It's too difficult to own Aguero and Kane and Dominic Calvert-Lewin. You cannot have a front three that's Dominic Calvert-Lewin, Kane and Aguero.
Yeah.
What are you having in...
You're going to have Souček and Bissouma and not a lot else in midfield.
You're
going to
have nobody, are you? Difficult. And at a time when the midfielders like Salah are performing, you can't not have him either. So it's... And Son, you know, you can't have... And I think this season is all about just making peace with the fact that you cannot have everybody.
I think you're absolutely right. And to be honest with you, I do think Aguero's going to... We will be sitting here in a few weeks talking about how do we get Sergio Aguero, because he just will be.
Mm.
One player that I'm not sitting here thinking that I want, which I'm flabbergasted that I'm not, is Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang for Arsenal. Seems to have gone completely quiet, really, in that Arsenal team.
Well, the whole start, actually. Because even in those opening games where he had those really nice fixtures, game week 1 and 2, didn't perform at the level that we were all expecting and hoping he would. We all captained him, right?
In a Premier League season where the goals are, let's face it, like,
everywhere,
you'd expect Aubameyang to have his fair share of those, and he just hasn't yet. No. He just hasn't. I'm not quite
Weird,
sure
isn't it?
What Arteta's going to do about that. But the fixtures coming up for Arsenal are thus... It's Leicester at home, which looks like a pretty good one if Leicester's defensive crisis, injury crisis continues.
Mm.
Then United away, anything can happen. Villa at home, Leeds away. So the fixtures, according to the Fantasy Football Scout ticker, are mixed, let's say. Let's mix. But I'm not seeing anything. The point is, I'm not seeing anything in Arsenal. And I didn't before I played my wild card that said to me, got to go get Arsenal.
Particularly not
I might change my mind, though.
For who, though?
Well, but Arsenal are the sort of team that with one or two good performances, I think you could change your mind. I think the same with Aguero. I'm not considering Aguero, but one or two performances, and I'll be like, oh, how do I get this guy?
Yeah.
You know it. But yeah. Then, like you said, you've got to accept that you just can't have everybody, including Sterling, who took his goal very well.
I think the thing is that I had a lot of comments when I posted my wildcard team on Saturday. Why haven't you got whoever? Because I don't have 300 million as my budget. And, can't have everybody. And I picked the players I felt were essential for me, and therefore some big players that are essential for other people missed out. Not because I don't rate them, not because I don't think they'll return points, because I do think they'll return points and I do think they're good picks, just because I can't afford them.
All right, 1-0 to City, so they're back to winning ways. Brutally speaking, guys, I can't talk much about what happened today, football-wise. The Sheffield United result barely even registered with me, and I'm telling you what, I am definitely not paying £14.95 to watch Sheffield United versus Fulham. I know is that Brewster didn't get the start.
No, he didn't get the start. And I think that game is summed up by the fact that Mitrovic missed the penalty, but even the Ramsdale owners didn't benefit from it because he just missed it. So there was no save for it. There was no goal for it. And that kind of sums it up, that game.
Yeah.
It was a bit of a damp squibbing and all event. And both of those teams are in trouble, if you ask me.
Yeah, Sheffield United in particular. I think we play them next, don't we? Let's have a look. Yeah, they've got coming to Anfield next. Then they've got Man City and Chelsea. Oof, goodness me. Not getting any easier for Sheffield United. That is a baptism of fire.
They did look a bit better when Brewster came on.
Yeah, you should give him a boost. But with those fixtures, it's tough. Really tough. Bring him in. Palace 1, Brighton 1. Much to say about that. Last minute Brighton goal. From the underlying stats, and that's all I've seen in this game. Remember, I've not watched this game, but all I've done is had a look at some of the high-level stats of the game. Statistically, Brighton wiped the floor with Palace, didn't they? And Palace had one shot on goal, and that was the penalty.
I saw the end of this game when we got back from Lee dropped me and our little one off before they went to the hospital, and it was all Brighton.
Martinez with two bonus points.
Oh, you absolute legend! Oh, Martinez, good kiss you.
Very briefly on Palace.
It was all Brighton.
Yeah,
I didn't see anything really from Palace. In fact, Palace had one shot on target and it was a penalty.
Yeah.
So,
I don't want to say too much more.
Took
about
away my Lamptey clean sheet.
The Lamptey clean sheet was bad. Maupai, I think he was in the game, but didn't really do much.
I mean, honestly, what is going on with these players this week? Because that dunk decision.
Oh, what's he doing? What's he doing, Lewis Dunk? Goodness me, I don't know this week.
But he's very, very lucky that he's not broke Gary Cahill's leg.
Oh, shocking.
The way he's behaved.
Shocking.
And I get that he's that close to goal and he's just trying to put it in. But think with your brain, Lewis Dunk.
Yeah, absolutely shocking. But anyway, from a Brighton perspective, West Brom up next. So listen, hold, I think, is the message for West Brom. Crystal Palace. Again,
don't bother.
I'm not inspired.
Apart from Mitchell, who started ahead of Patrick Van Aanholt today, that's the only thing to say. Van Aanholt was on the bench.
Is he sort of fit and firing?
On the bench today.
Surely he starts ahead of Mitchell.
Well, let's see what happens in game week 6. There was a school of thought today that said that they'll both start. Mitchell will play and Patrick Van Aanholt too. So let's see what happens next week.
Well, Fulham next for Crystal Palace. Mm-hmm. So if you've got any Crystal Palace players, despite the sort of... I wouldn't sound negative about them. I just feel very like nonplussed about them, to be honest with you. But I wouldn't be selling ahead of Fulham. I'd be keeping for Fulham.
Well, but Fulham did look a little bit better with Lookman.
So that's pretty much it, Sam. That's all the games, because we've spoken about Spurs and we haven't got much to say about Leicester versus Villa because we haven't watched it. We've been on here other than to say Martinez, two bonus points. Yes. Key team, very, very good. Nothing for Grealish or Watkins, but never you mind Villa owners, because it's Leeds and Southampton at home in the next two for them. And I think that they... our holds. All right, Sam, let's talk about our teams.
Spring winner.
Where should we start first? Let's start with your team. So this is your wild card team, the last minute wild card team as it stands. looking pretty good. Obviously, the Spurs boys very much saved your bacon. This up, obviously put this together pre-Martinez's 7 or 9 points.
Yeah,
or whatever
nine,
he's
nine
got.
Points.
9 points.
So, yeah, so I'm currently on 84 points.
84, very good.
Game,
very good.
Rank of 594,000 now.
Sorry.
Which,
moving
I mean,
in the right direction
I must say, I'm really, really pleased. That's a million. Yeah. That's over a million rank gain. And I've still got Dallas to play tomorrow.
That's what it's going to be like, though. That is FPL this season. Massive swings either way, depending on, frankly, we'll talk about my team in a second. It's the first time I've nailed my captain all year.
Yeah.
And when you nail the captain, expect a green arrow.
I mean, the thing is that for me... Okay, so I lost Shea Adams. That would have been 11 points over Watkins, who got 2. So what? That's a 9-point swing. But the reality is I didn't have a full team for this game week.
Yeah.
I would not have had 11 players. I'd have had to have taken a minus 4 to get 10 players out. Would have taken a minus 8 to get 11 players out. So it was forced, it was necessary, and it was needed. And do you know what? In some ways, I think it was better. Because... Okay. I didn't have any time to panic and overthink it. It was a case of...
last minute wildcard just worked.
Let's be completely honest on this. I played my wildcard at 10:45 when we got home from dinner on Friday night. Because we went out to the Spurs Stadium all day. We got home. I did a Zoom and Patreon call with Shah, if you're watching Shah. It was lovely to talk to you. What a nice bloke he was. And do you know what he did?
What?
Captain Rashford.
Did he? Yeah. Good lads.
So we had a lovely Zoom chat.
There's the Patreon Zoom calls in action right there.
There you go. I didn't tell him to Captain Rashford though. I could sit here and say I did, but I didn't. I did say I thought he was worth holding, but he was his placeholder for next week, and he said, "Am I mad?" And I was like, "No, go for it." And then we went out for dinner, and while we were at dinner, I was like, "I'm playing it." We got home from town, and I literally sat there for an hour before
half
I went
10,
to bed.
Friday night.
Yeah, it was like, by the time I actually played it, it was probably like 10:30, 11:00. Yeah. We sat there, we had Black Box on while you were just slating me to
how
Az.
How good was that, by the way?
Well, apart from Az behaving like a lunatic.
Any of you guys that were in the FPL Black
didn't
Box
want Harry
live
Kane,
stream Friday night.
Think you were
Mark,
wrong, Az.
So Mark and Az did. So if you haven't watched this, guys, you need to get over to...
It was hilarious.
As soon as we're done here, search for FPL Black Box on YouTube. Go subscribe to that channel. Fantastic, fantastic. New for this year, FPL channel, but not with new people to FPL.
This is Az
and Mark Southern. So these are the OGs, right? And they were talking, and Az was being pressured into doing certain things.
Az was saying he didn't want Harry Kane, and we were all telling him off.
And Andy from Let's Talk FPL, another fantastic channel, who I think will be live streaming after us, was in the chat putting Az under tons of pressure. And Mark then sort of zoomed him in. He joined the call live stream, and we had... Everybody was in the chat. We had Planet FPL was in there. Fan Show was in there. It was honestly, it was a real proper good live stream.
Because everyone was panic wildcarding. So honestly, I've never done anything like it before in my life. I've never, in all my years of FPL, played a wildcard and had an hour. Literally, it was an hour of wildcarding and I did it. And I was I'm done. And then I got up Saturday morning and I thought... Because I said to Leah at one point, I was like, I have to go to bed. I need to sleep on Fernandez. I need to decide what I'm going to do. So I went to bed.
That was the one you weren't sure about.
He was the one. And I woke up. And the thing is, I wanted to keep rotating keepers. And if I kept Bruno, I didn't have rotating keepers. And I didn't. And I still had Ferguson. And I was like, oh, you're a problem because you're never fit. And I went to bed and I woke up the next morning. And I still felt I wanted to keep Fernandez. So I had a bit of a tinker with the rest of my team in the way that it was set up in order... that I had rotating keepers, which enabled me to have Martinez. So the transfer I made on Saturday morning was to bring Martinez in alongside McCarthy. And actually, that was a good decision.
So your game week point is actually not 76 as per the screen. 84. Overall rank 500 and something? 500 and something, right? This is
594. So we're going in the right direction. And Dallas to play tomorrow. So feels nice. Good. Successful wild card. And now, hopefully, a role transfer ahead of game week 6.
Very good. All right. Well, just before we get to my team, a quick shout out to all of our new patrons for this week who joined us in the last 7 days. So thank you, guys, if you've joined us at the Ohana tier at $3 or at the Manager of the Month tier. Not too late to get involved with the Manager of the Month tier, but I will be closing the October competition as soon as game week 6 kicks off. So if you want to take part, in the Manager of the Month for October, it's not too late. Go check out patreon.com/FPL family. But as soon as that ball is kicked on, I think it's a Friday night actually in game week 6.
Is it?
I think Leeds are playing Friday night. Might be wrong about that.
That'd be a pay-per-view
game. You can check that for me live. But as soon as the ball is kicked in game week 6, October will be closed. So if you want to go check out patreon.com/FPL family and take part in the Manager of the Month competition for October, then you can. And of course, we've been doing these Zoom calls with loads of our different patrons over the last couple of weeks. Quite a few, actually, given quite a few of you guys were playing the wild card over the international break. So thanks to everybody that's really embraced the new Zoom tier in Patreon. Been really, really great to speak to you guys one-to-one, to get to know you, to see how your FPL teams are going. You know, from all around the world. We've spoken to people from all around the world.
Everywhere.
And been up at some Well, we've been up at some unholy hours, but we've got you guys, some of our patrons, out of bed at some pretty unholy hours as well to deal with the time differences. So listen, guys, it's been great to get to talk to all of our patrons individually at the Zoom tier. So there we go, patreon.com/FPL Family. You want to go and check us out over there and you get bonus podcasts and Slack and all that other good stuff as well. Prizes for the manager of the month as well, including the opportunity to come and do your very own FPL Family YouTube video with us. So go check it out. Go check it out. Here is my team, my wildcarded team for the game week. Now, same as you, I've got Dallas still to play. It won't be 73. I'll have a few more because of Martinez. I'll have the 3 for Grealish, which is happy days. But it's the Spurs boys that have done it, have done the business here. No doubt about
it. But of course.
Makes such a difference when you nail that captaincy. It really, really does. And Kane absolutely coming through for me this week. And Son, his able deputy, very, very happy to have Salah. I feel like I'm on the right Liverpool defender with Robertson as well. I don't feel like I want to double up there right now. I feel you on the sort of 4.5 defender thing. You know, Lamptey. Okay, you know, maybe should have had a clean sheet today. You know,
should have.
The penalty from Palace. Is
one shot.
And I know that he was involved in conceding that penalty, but when I saw it back, it was like, is that really is that a penalty? I mean, come on. So Lamptey, a bit unlucky not to get the 6. More pie up against West Brom next, so I feel like I'm okay there.
I'll try not to trial you next week.
Please don't trial me with any more pay assists, that would be great. DCL, I'm very happy to have. And in actual fact, the only thing that I'm maybe a little bit unhappy with now is not having James Rodriguez in light of the Richarlison thing, which was a bit of a, you know, when I was putting this together, it was the one thing. I was very happy with this team, and that was the last thing. It was Pulisic or James Rodriguez. And if I go purely based on this game week, then yeah, I've missed out on a couple of points there. But next few weeks, I've got a keen eye on James Rodriguez now because we know what he can do when he gambles more and when he gets forward. So I'm a bit concerned about that as a non-owner. I'm just going to check Fantasy Football Fix now to have a look at my live rank. It's gone up to 1.1. So, again, moving in the right direction after, you know, what can only be described as an absolutely bat-poo crazy season so far. It's been ridiculous. With overall ranks, I've been down in the 3 millions and stuff. So to be at 1.1, pretty happy with that. Therein lies the importance of naming your captain, right?
In Harry we trust.
In Harry we trust. In Harry we trust. Guys, that is it for another FPL Family. Thank you very much for joining. It's been another roller coaster game week, hasn't it? Really, really roller coaster.
It definitely has.
Before we go, just a shout out to our social channels so you can find us on all of these different places. At FPL Family Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. If you want to listen back to this video in just audio format as a podcast, then you can subscribe to our podcast on all of your usual places, actually. SoundCloud, Spotify, Audioboom, Apple, Deezer.
Maybe you like
all of those. I think we're going to be on Amazon Music soon as well, and Audible.
Are we?
I think I've got that right. I think I've just, I don't know. I think we
you
are.
You think you've set that up.
I think I've set that up, guys. I think that's coming. but we are on all of those different media. Lots to look forward to on Fantasy Football Scout as well this week, as well as another Lee versus Sam video, which I thought as a Barclay and I was in good position, but you've got Son, you tell me. So
yeah, because I could, because you wouldn't let me have, well, I mean, you don't have a choice, but I thought you'd go mental if I picked Kane again. So I went with Son this time.
And we have got the Fantasy Premier League podcast as well coming up this Thursday/Friday with me. I'm on it this week. I think that's the only thing we've got this week in terms of shows and pods, isn't it? But look out for
us. We're back on the show on the 29th.
29th, coming up over the next couple of weeks, guys. So there we go, guys. If you got up into the, I don't know, 80s, 90s, I've seen a couple of 100-plus scores in the live chat.
That's Dallas tomorrow when he gets a 20-pointer.
That is what I'm talking about. That is what I'm talking about. If you're up in the hundreds, then fair play. That is an absolutely fantastic score. The season continues to be difficult. Well done for anybody that's managing to keep up. If you've paid $14.95 for Fulham versus Sheffield United, well done. I think well done. I definitely won't be doing that, but listen, the season is only going to get crazier. I think Aguero's going to be coming back into our thinking.
You just have to, it's like I've said a couple of times now, you cannot have everybody. Make peace with the ones that you really want.
Believe in your team, Sam.
Stick with them and just accept that the ones you can't afford will return. And if you can make peace with that, then you're having for a good season.
There we go. I knew there was a reason you bought the green Spurs shirt at the Spurs Stadium the other day. It's because you are the FPL Yoda, Sam. Never a wiser word said from FPL Yoda.
It's blimmin' nice, this, isn't it?
It's nice, I like it. I like
it's
it.
It's got a nice little flash of pink. That's why I like this one, isn't it?
Beautiful. Did you get Bale 9 on the back?
No, because none of the women's ones had Bale. They didn't, did they? All the... Honestly, it was like the Bale threw up in the Spurs shop. It was Bale 9 on everything, yeah. Apart from the women's shirts.
Well, good job you didn't after today's performance. Thanks very much for joining us tonight, FBL family. Leave us a like before you go. And if you're new around here, hit that subscribe button. Go and type Let's Talk FPL into the address bar on YouTube. And go and join Andy now for another Let's Talk FPL. Until next time, guys. Sunday, 8:30 next week. We'll see you soon. Cheers.
Bye, guys.